It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and we're talking about efforts to diversify so-called STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math. National and private organizations, they've invested millions of dollars in science diversity programs in recent years, really trying to shake up these long-established norms that are ingrained in academic science departments. And we're checking in on the campus climate and what it means for STEM in Wisconsin and across the country. Teachers and researchers, what do you do to try to get students from all backgrounds interested in STEM fields? How do you make it more inclusive? Are there barriers to the scientific academy that you see and others around you, they don't? They're blind to it. Let's talk about this. 800-642-1234. Ginger Ann is executive director of the Illuminating Discover Hub at UW-Madison. It works to establish connections between scientists and the public. Ginger Ann, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
So your legal name is Ginger Ann Contreras, and you don't use that last name. Why is that?
Correct. Thank you for asking. So a lot, what you'll see on the panel, we have the Who Owns Science panel coming up today at the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery. And so in those announcements, you'll see my last name. But when you see my email, you'll see my sign-off is Ginger Ann. And the reason why is I use my middle name as a placeholder to recognize that Contreras is a part of the culture, the Spanish conquistador culture of my ancestry. And those values don't fit with my personal values of the First Nation side of my ancestry. So my Spanish side, that Contreras last name, and how there was a systematic oppression and also a silencing of my First Nation culture, language, is really important for me to recognize. And so I do that by not leading with my last name and instead having my middle name. A part of that is my grandmother was a healer, and she carried on some of those First Nation practices from her grandparents. But she lost language. We know it's the Apache tribe, but we don't know what tribe it is. So it's a really important part for me to recognize that there's been that level that's been silenced. And my personal goal is doing research so I can hope to find that and reclaim.
Why do we see so few women and minorities in scientific fields?
That's a great question. Part of it has to do with the culture, the historical culture of STEM fields. And another part of it has to do with the values. So there's a lot of differences and nuances depending on the cultures that you're coming from, as well as gender. And they all play a role into how you're relating to science and how you're pursuing your academic field. So a level being, from my personal experience, being of a First Nation ancestry, it's really important to be connected to people and help with leading by inspiring leaders so that you are leading together. With that, when you're in a lab, it feels isolated. You're not connected to people. And although the research can serve people, that isolation can make it feel, are you really doing something that fits with your values? And so a part of STEM inclusion and diversity is how are we opening up the scholarship and research so that you can start to have more of that connection to people and start to see that your values do align and have a welcoming atmosphere. Also goes down to gender. I've had many people in my background, which is bioarchaeology, say, but you're too pretty to be a bioarchaeologist. Oh. My looks have nothing to do with it. Or, wow, you speak so well. And that leaves the concept of they're surprised that I'm able to communicate about STEM, like somehow this isn't something that I should be a specialist in. So those all are messaging of who belongs and who owns science.
We're talking with Ginger Ann of the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery about diversity in STEM fields, and you can join in. Are you a woman working in science? What was your experience breaking into the field? Do you feel like you've had the same opportunities at school or at your job? Teachers and professors, are you trying to get students from all backgrounds interested in pursuing science? How do you do that? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Ginger, it may be easy to see how different cultural backgrounds can shape creative fields like the arts and music and literature, but we do, as you said, think about the lab in science, that isolating lab and the precise numbers and formulas and methods that just are they don't give, that they're so clearly defined. How do you see an individual's identity or your heritage affecting that precise scientific research? What's the connection?
The value of that is our diversity is really our strength. So when you have different scientists that are coming from different backgrounds, they're actually looking at the research differently. And so by doing that, you can create innovative discovery that never would have happened if you're only approaching it from a Western standpoint. So an example being there's a linguistic anthropology concept that your language shapes how you're viewing the world. So an example being when you have languages that don't use numbers, they're going to see a different pattern when you have several sets of, let's say, chickens, where if you're seeing numbers, you're going to see specific numbers. So there's ways that you start to see trends and pick up on things. And so by bringing people together that have diverse thought, they're going to notice patterns and be able to point them out to each other to advance that scholarship. So there is a great benefit that we're missing in science when we're not allowing people to express their diversity and how they're approaching their research.
For decades, crash test dummies were only designed to represent male bodies, and yet research has shown that women are far more likely to be seriously injured in a car crash than a man. What are the dangers of homogeneous engineering and design teams?
Mm-hmm. Safety. It comes down to, I mean, there's a huge level of how are we creating an inclusive culture that is going to be safe and accessible and also nurturing of all people. So when you do that, you're cutting out on many different levels, whether it's the, you know, these crash dummies, that's a safety concern. When you're looking at medicines, that's also a safety concern, because when you're only having test groups of white males, the medicines that you have are going to be aligned with their genetics, their environment, and it's going to be successful for what their background is, not a person of color. So there's, you know, these classic comparisons and differences that are really important for making sure we're serving all of our community. And when you look at it, there's the estimates that in 2050, 50% of the U.S. population is going to be people of color. So if we're not engaging people now, we're going to be missing the STEM professionals that we need in the future, and we're going to be missing serving people and our quality of health as a community and as a population, as a country, because we haven't done the work we need to do.
We haven't done the work we need to do, but do you think we have clearly identified the issue? Are we taking diversity in STEM fields seriously, and are we acting on it?
We are, and in different pockets we're acting on it. I think one of the most important things is we don't have all the answers yet, otherwise we would have solved this. So we're still in that conversation of what can we do, and that testing. There's going to be some programs that are successful now that are not going to be relevant in 10 years from now, because we're going to be in a different culture, we're going to be in a different place. So there are great programs. One of the programs we're doing here on campus is Science to Street Art, where we're creating street art murals throughout the city of Madison. We're pairing scientists with street artists and using graffiti art as a theme to communicate science to youth. So we're trying to find ways to engage community and change the lens of how we're telling the story of science for our future STEM, and engaging new STEM stakeholders, whether or not their education background is in science or their legacy is in science. We want to make sure this is inclusive. Other programs that we have with Wisconsin Institute for Discovery are led by grad students, where they're looking at grad student mental health, and a part of that being diversity of how are we nurturing our future leaders in these fields. So there are great things both here on campus and nationally that are happening, but we still got work to do.
We're talking with Ginger Ann from the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery, looking at diversity in science, what it means to bring more people of different backgrounds into the academy, into science programs that fall far short of gender and racial diversity. Did you ever want to be a scientist when you grew up? Who or what changed your mind? Researchers, have you broken new ground in your scientific studies because of a perspective you brought that was different than your peers at the table? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Back in a moment. More conversation here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about diversity in STEM fields and why it matters. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. These fields have forever lacked diversity in race and gender. And here's a statistic. If you tally up all of the Nobel Prizes in the sciences throughout time, in all of history, the awards have been given to only 21 women. That's 3% of the 700 Nobel laureates. So are you a woman working in science? What was your experience breaking into your field? Do you feel like you've had the same opportunities at school or at your job? Join in at 800-642-1234. Ginger Ann runs the Illuminating Discovery Hub at UW-Madison, and she stays with us. Ginger, if we want to diversify science, what needs to change about the way we teach it? I mean, I hear you saying street art and mental health. These are really different things. And so what are you seeing as some breakthroughs?
In terms of instruction, it's being open to different concepts and cultural reactions and perspectives to what you're teaching. It's also a level of opening up and immediately connecting how it relates to people when you have cultures that value for your future, for your job, for what you want to do as a person in this life, having the power to be able to help people and lead and lift. When you want that to be so close to what you're doing, having instructors, your mentors, talk about how that is going to be impacted through the science and how your science can do that, and having a different way of how are we structuring lab time, how are we structuring outreach so that there's a bit more balance. A part of that too is representation. A huge part of it is what you were mentioning, is that we don't have a lot of women in certain STEM fields. We don't have a lot of people of color leading certain STEM fields. And so it sends a messaging of whether or not you'll be successful within those fields. So part of the instruction is also seeing yourself reflected. And that happens in the classroom. It can happen with making sure that when you're talking about science, you're talking about different ways of including science. So one thing that's really important for my culture, coming from a First Nation culture, my grandma being a healer, there's an interesting concept within our family, because my grandma had no education, no formal education. She didn't have the opportunity to go to kindergarten, but she was so advanced within her healing practices. But her healing practices merged medicine, herbs, with spirituality. And it's really hard because in the sciences, spirituality can be scoffed at, or that it's not taken as seriously.
A non-starter.
Absolutely. And it can alienate you, feeling this isn't a place for me. This type of research isn't going to fulfill me and respect my culture. So how are we taking those different lenses and approaching science in a different way when we're talking about it that's more inclusive and accepting of people's viewpoints, their practices, and the scientist and the student as a whole? So that's a big part of the education format. Another part is creating more of a dialogue when you're teaching science. And then another level, Joe Handelsman, the director of the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery, which houses our Illuminating Discovery Hub. One of her big pushes is Tiny Earth, which is a program that is for student crowdsourcing antibiotic discovery. And one thing that she talks about a lot as a teacher and as an instructor in STEM and a woman in STEM is how are we looking at activating students within this scientific discovery portion while they're learning. Because a lot of the education, you're learning these facts, you're not really partaking in being a scientist. And so if you can immediately have them be a part of the process so that they're realizing, hey, I can be a scientist because I'm doing it right now, that creates the power that you can see yourself reflected when there isn't representation immediately available regarding your identity and who you are as a person.
It's almost like you want to kind of fast forward into being able to do the science and feel the science instead of having to step back and say, oh, no, wait, before you do any of that, you got to learn this and this and this. It also reminds me that one person can make a huge difference in someone's life. Like one moment can change a person's path.
Absolutely. And going a little bit broader in that, one of our programs, Science to Script, which was inspired by Jo Handelsman's work when she was a science advisor during the Obama administration, is looking at how are we representing science and inclusion and diversity and representation of diverse scientists within mass media, like big budget films and Hollywood. So this links to what you're talking about as well, because what you start to see is that there's a limited amount of women and people of color represented in STEM fields within film. And so what is it showing you about the role models you have? Because what you find is if you don't have a scientist within your family or a role model or someone to connect to when you're young, you're often being introduced to STEM fields through media. So an example being the Gina Davis Institute partnered with the Lyda Hill Foundation to create a study of 10 years of the top grossing films that were related to science. And these were a couple of data sets. 37.1% of STEM characters were women. And then what stuck out for me is less than 4% of those STEM characters were Latinx, and even smaller Latinx women. And for me, who's multiracial, has Spanish First Nation ancestry, it was so important of looking at that and seeing I wasn't ever seeing myself reflected. And when you start to see films now, there is a big push for inclusion and diversity, and starting to see myself reflected, the culture, the people, it's empowering. And so by having more, how are we expanding into film? How are we increasing representation that might not be there physically within the fields right now? It's inspiring the next generations by role models that you see on screen or the play, you know, or the stage.
We're talking with Ginger Ann about diversity and inclusion in science, and she'll be speaking at the Wisconsin Science Festival in Madison later today. What do you want to know about diversity in scientific fields? What's your take on how labs and research organizations can flex to be more inclusive? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Ginger, thinking about the Nobel Prize and that statistic that just 3% of women have been Nobel laureates, you know, even from the greatest science academy in the, you know, from a worldview, is also really trying to figure out how to shake things up. So some of that has to filter down, and it takes time. But what can we look to our whole world as we look at how to diversify STEM here in the United States?
It's engaging STEM stakeholders that might not have a science background, and a level of being open to where are we seeing when we as a people are pushing these Western norms of who is a leader, because people of color and then also women, there's a different way of leading. You see that it's a level of service. And when you're serving and you're trying to help encourage and support and lift others, it can be really hard to be recognized for areas like the Nobel. So there's, you know, so it's really interesting of how are we as people also promoting and getting interested, because if we're starting to support our women scientists, if we're starting to support people of color in the science fields or the pursuit of the science, that is where we're going to start to see that power and that change happen. So a part of it comes from us as a whole.
Let's go to Mike now in La Crosse with thoughts on this. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm fortunate I work for a Fortune 500 company in the La Crosse area that encourages STEM activities for people in our company, specifically women in our company. Donna and Kristen are two great examples, and they get out to the high schools. We've invested tens of thousands of dollars in local education to encourage specifically women to enter the engineering field. But we also belong to national organizations like Women in Manufacturing that really promote within our company, but also allow us to promote within the communities we're in. Organizations like that that really open people and, as you said earlier, identify with younger students in high school and college that there are women in these positions and that they're not the only ones, and to encourage them to support and go for those opportunities.
So Mike there in the private sector at a Fortune 500 company, he sees his company making strides in this and reaching out into the community.
Absolutely. And I think it's incredibly important what Mike just mentioned, too, that there are organizations. So helping to connect, to be a part of those organizations, to find the support that's out there is really important when you're pursuing your field. If you're a young professional, mid-professional, and any stage of STEM, that's really important.
What can private companies do to address STEM and the diversity in their workforce?
I think what Mike mentioned, it's going out to the schools, communicating the research you're doing, also supporting universities or representation within film, just different ways of how you're talking about your research, how it apply your business, talking about how it applies to community as a whole, and listening and being responsive to the needs of the students and their cultural backgrounds and that diversity.
You have mentioned through our conversation a number of innovative programs that you're trying out, everything from street art to all these various things. But how do you know that they'll be working, that they're making a difference? How do you measure that?
That's a great question. As pilots, that's where we're having an agile approach because you don't know how they're going to work when you're first starting them out. We do have measurements where we're working off of public art standards for how, for the murals specifically, how to create impact, and then where do you put them locationally. We also are building informal learning opportunities, and we're partnering with specialists that are looking at analysis of how you create impact. So some of it is the test, and then you got to study it, and then we'll know, and then you adapt from there.
Ginger, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That was Ginger, and she is Executive Director for the Illuminating Discovery Hub at the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery. She'll be speaking at the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery in Madison today at 2 o'clock as part of the Wisconsin Science Festival. And we talked about the future of STEM fields and how to address the inequality along racial and gender lines. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.